Talk of peace with the Taliban has broken out in both Afghanistan and Pakistan. Pakistani officials have just finished a round with Taliban negotiators, the U.S. agreeing to curb drone attacks on Taliban militants, in part to help facilitate those talks. In Afghanistan, the government of outgoing President Hamid Karzai has confirmed reports that it held secret talks with the Afghan Taliban ahead of elections in 2 months, and as the U.S. prepares to withdraw troops by the end of this year. So who is really at these tables? What does it mean? What's the difference between the Taliban in the two countries? Michael Semple has lived and worked in the region for nearly 30 years. He's now a professor at the Institute for the Study of Conflict, Transformation, and Social Justice at Queen's University in Belfast and joins us from a BBC studio there. Michael, welcome back to the program.
Nice to be with you.
And let's start with your reaction to this flurry of news of secret talks and open talks. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm always pleased when people say that they're striving for peace, but I think that there are reasons to doubt both sets of headlines and both processes now underway.
We'll start with Afghanistan. You know many of the people involved here. First of all, just give us a thumbnail of the Taliban in Afghanistan.
We should always remember what the Taliban are fighting for. They are a movement which is fighting to remove foreign troops from Afghanistan and to establish an Islamic system. Although I reckon they only have a minority support in the country, militarily they're strong enough to do a lot of damage. I think it's also, if you want to understand the prospect for peace talks, you've got to know how they operate. They do have a formal structure, the sort of centrally appointed governors and commanders and all sorts of commissions like shadow ministries.
You're right, they have a formal structure. They also have an address. We remember they had a presence in Qatar that President Karzai was very upset about because it looked a lot like an embassy. But, you know, they have an address. You can reach them. They have contacts. A very organized organization.
Yes, and if, speaking as a scholar, I wanted to explain to you the difference between the Afghan Taliban and the Pakistan Taliban, when I want to write a paper about the Afghan Taliban, I have a mound of material sitting on my desk, books which have been written by them or by their supporters, stuff which has been produced by their cultural commission. There's a huge lot of material to get your teeth into. If you want to understand the Pakistani Taliban, there are a few press statements and profile of their military commanders and nothing else. There's a lot of substance to the Afghan Taliban movement. Like them or hate them, there's actually a lot there.
Stay with your thinking. And the Pakistani Taliban, disparate groups, tell us more.
Basically, it's a conglomerate of different armed groups, mainly operating in the tribal areas in the north of the country, who have agreed on a sort of leadership council that commanders of each of the groups are entitled to sit on this council so that they can do things like agree an overall leader or agree to enter negotiations. But actually, they don't have a kind of structure or an organization like the Afghan Taliban.
Yeah. Well, back to the Afghan Taliban, the secret talks with President Karzai. As you said, one of their goals is to remove foreign troops from Afghanistan. Now, others have raised the question, why would they be in negotiations with President Karzai about how much U.S. presence there should be in Afghanistan after troop withdrawal if, in fact, they don't want any?
It doesn't make sense at all. And I am rather doubtful of the utility of this mystique around secret talks. There are working contacts between the Taliban and various people underway all the time, but I do not believe that the Taliban have any intention of entering negotiations in the last 2 months of the Afghan government. Any contacts which are underway have been a little bit exaggerated for this story.
Well, and then what's your sense of going forward? Because we know that in order for there to be a country going forward after crisis, the insurgency has to either be begrudgingly welcomed into the arms of the government or completely dissipate, or something has to happen. What do you think is going to happen?
For the moment, I think that the leadership of the Afghan Taliban movement has set its sights on achieving some more gains on the battlefield. They expect that with the US withdrawal, they will get stronger. However, I certainly understand that there are a lot of people in the movement who see no point in carrying on with this very expensive conflict once the main NATO contingent has withdrawn. So they haven't won the argument yet inside their movement, but I know that there are plenty of Taliban who really would like to see a move towards talks and a resolution and basically get on with rebuilding their country.
Look to the Pakistani Taliban. As opposed to wanting to remove foreign forces, the Pakistani Taliban are fighting to abolish the Pakistani state.
you know, when I listen to the reasons that they give for their current conflict, it looks as if they've, you know, first of all decided to fight and then decided to come up with a long list of reasons why they have to keep on fighting. I think you'll find that both in Pakistan and in the US administration, many people are highly pessimistic regarding the prospects for these talks. They do not expect that they will deliver a lasting agreement. They may not deliver an agreement at all. And certainly if you choose a catch-all demand like abolish the state as it now exists and replace it with a radically different Islamic system, you know that nobody's ever going to agree to this. I mean, it's the kind of thing which has some, you know, rhetorical support. You can't be against Islam in Pakistan, and it sort of sounds good to say, oh, our state is really a colonial state, we ought to overhaul it. But if you look at what they've done over the past few years, 50,000 people have been killed in Pakistan in the past decade of conflict. Those people who say they would be perhaps in favour of an Islamic system never actually signed off on the idea of killing 50,000 Pakistanis.
And as you say, they sort of disguise, if you will, some of their methods through really culturally popular things like songs.
Yes, they have been they've been extremely successful, and yeah, I must say I've had experience. I study these things. And then sometimes people would ask me, can you show me some of the material that you got from the Taliban, some of their songs, some of their ballads? When I play them, people just their eyes lit up and say, "Wow, that's really good."
But then they try to kill a young girl named Malala. Do successfully kill another young boy, who tries to stop a suicide bomber and has since become, you know, sort of a martyr. Why don't those things offset the popular song?
I think that many people are genuinely frightened to take a stand against the Pakistani Taliban. They fear for their lives. Another complicating factor is that throughout the years that the Pakistani Taliban have been involved in their insurgency and this violent campaign, everybody has wondered whether the Pakistani state, the security forces, are really serious at taking them on. And in areas which are threatened by the Taliban, people basically reckon that, well, if the police and the army aren't prepared to stand up to them, then we're certainly not going to do it alone, because we'd be left there in the firing line. So I think that there's a lot of ambiguity about the determination of the state to resist the Taliban, and only when there is real political decision in Pakistan to end this insurgency will we see them rolled back.
Michael Semple, at the Institute for the Study of Conflict Transformation and Social Justice at Queen's University in Ireland, speaking to us about recent headlines about peace talks, giving us the story behind the talks. Michael, thanks so much.
Most welcome, Robin.